Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We are on this series called Mysterious. Has it been mysterious? I'm sure some of these things you're like, I kind of understood these different topics, or I got some more clarity on them, which that's our hope, is to bring some understanding of these things that maybe are a bit harder to understand. And this morning, I get to tackle the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know if I'll tackle him, but like wrestle. You're supposed to wrestle with the Holy Spirit. We're going to wrestle a bit today and hopefully get a little bit of clarity about the Holy Spirit. Although it will not be, you know, in-depth extensive, because I have like 25 minutes and it's like saying, you should preach about Jesus. It's like, yeah, okay. It's a big, huge part of the Bible. And I'm hoping as we go through, though, that I can answer these three questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And how do we receive and live with the Holy Spirit? Yes. All right. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, maybe even saying that word, you're thinking, a presence, a power, there's comforting, there's something that's here that I can't see, but it's really there, or it's mysterious, right? It is kind of feels ominous or something like that, but we have to realize that the Holy Spirit is actually a who, not a what. He is the third person of the Godhead. And in preschool, because I teach preschool when I'm not in here, we sing a song, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. So we're not teaching them math skills, in case you're wondering. Really confusing. But hopefully, maybe they'll have an idea that it's like, there's this big thing that I can't understand that nobody can really make sense of, but it is our awesome God that can do this. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Yes, with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the scripture, which the Word of God is what we preach out of in this church. We are a biblical church. I heard that this week, and it's like, we are a biblical church. The Bible is the inherent word of God. It does not change. It is forever the word for us to live by. It is absolute truth. It does not change, and we continue to live by it even when it sucks. Yeah, even when the culture says, no, this is what we live by. And in this infallible word of God, it says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, that the Holy Spirit can be quenched, that the Holy Spirit is a guide, a comforter, an advocate. He intercedes for us. These are personal qualities. You know, Jesus said, because he told his disciples, I tell you the truth, in John 16:7, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, and this is the Amplified, so there's lots of words, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Now that seems kind of strange maybe, because Jesus was awesome and it would have been really great to actually physically hold his hand and just feel his physical body, right? That would be awesome. But all of you who are humans in this room, that's us, all of us, we are all humans, and within our human body there's limitations. We actually can't be in two places at once. Even though if there's one thing I could do, it would be teleporting, because I want to be in two places at once lots. Anybody else feel that way? If you have multiple children in sports, you're like, I want to be there and there and there and there all at the same time. But you can't be. And Jesus, that's why he said, it's better that I go. Because the mission of Jesus is to have his word, the gospel, preached, you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the ends of the earth. He wanted it to get to Canada. And so the Holy Spirit was what made that omnipresence be able to sweep the whole, all nations of the world. And so we get to be a part of that. So we're going to look in Scripture where we find the Holy Spirit. A few Old Testament scriptures, starting with the very beginning. Can you imagine? Genesis 1, 1 to 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So the Spirit of God was part of creation. He was there when you were created. He was part of making that happen. This word, Spirit of God, here is actually a Hebrew word, ruach, Elohim. I just wanted to make sure you're with me. And it means this presence. It's like the very breath of God, this wind. And we see it throughout Scripture, this word to remind us that He is here all through the Old Testament and New Testament. And it's this power. Even in Job 33:4, it says, "The Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." So if you ever find yourself on a day where you're like, "Man, I don't know what to be thankful for," I thank you, Spirit of God, that I have your breath in me to live out this life, live out this day today. And we see throughout the Old Testament, you know, the Spirit empowers Joseph to interpret dreams. The Holy Spirit also, I love this scripture, Exodus 31, 1 to 6 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts.'" Wow. "Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you." So that's moving on to our second question. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit actually gives this incredible ability to do things with our hands even. That's pretty awesome. And here, the Holy Spirit gives wisdom and understanding and knowledge and those tangible skills like nunchuck skills and bow hunting skills and computer hacking skills and lots of other great skills. I love skills. And you all have skills. I was having this conversation with a woman who isn't a follower of Jesus yet, but I was telling her that I believe that God created each one of us, and because He created us, He actually we are His image bearers, and because of that, we all have creativity in us. I was a person that I was like, "I'm not creative." You know, my daughter, Jaden, who's 17, she's like a pen and a pencil, and it's like, it blows your mind. That's creativity. And people would say, that's creativity. But we all have this expression of God's creative nature. It's just in different areas. Whether it's music or cooking or decorating a home or building an engine, there's so much that is because of the creative God within us. And that's the Holy Spirit working in us. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So not only does He show up on the outsides, He actually can transform us from the inside. He can change the very way that we think and live and act because of what He does to our heart, which is so powerful. So, continuing on, what does the Holy Spirit do? Jumping into some New Testament. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12 says, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him." I've read that many times. It's like, oh, the wonder of it all. This is so exciting. But then it goes on to say, "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit." So is it important to be connected to His Spirit? Yes. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." So when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, we actually can get a revelation of what God's plan is, and to understand maybe a little inkling of who he is and how awesome he is, where we stand in awe of his goodness. Luke 12, 11 to 12 says, "When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." It's crazy. The Holy Spirit can actually give you words. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation where someone is telling you something that in your human mind you can't fix, you can't make sense of, you don't understand, and you're just like, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need words. I need whatever I need to do right now, an arm to go around them, because I got nothing." And the Holy Spirit can give you words. I'm actually, my son is in grade 7 and he's homeschooling, and we're using this curriculum called Generations, if you're considering homeschooling. Incredible curriculum. But we're learning about the early church. And when you learn about some of the early church fathers and the martyrs and these people who are standing on trial, you know, like the stake is ready, the hay's there, the match is ready to be struck, and they have these profound words of faith in those moments, and you're like, that's got to be the Holy Spirit, because there's no way in your human self you could come up with something so bold and so brave in such a time. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And this isn't like, woohoo, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. This is a freedom into slavery, I guess, into bond servants of Christ. I now live as the way Christ wants me to live. I no longer get to live the way I want to live, but it's the truest freedom. And we're going to get into why it is the truest freedom to come. But 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 11 says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for all of us. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." There's so much in that scripture. But one thing that really pops out, even after we did our series on how to read and interpret scripture, is the repetition we see. One Spirit, the same Spirit. So this isn't a whole bunch of different spirits. This is still one. Even though he's everywhere, it's one. It's one Spirit, the Spirit of God that's at work. And also that Spirit wants to create a oneness, a unity within us as believers of Christ that we are all submitted to and under that same Spirit. So we start to look like each other. We start to actually, you know, put up with each other because of the Spirit that is in us. And this is another thing that the Spirit does, as we see in this scripture. The Spirit gives gifts, wonderful gifts, gifts of wisdom and faith and knowledge, which we saw Old Testament as well, and healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment. And there's also maybe this weird gift that you hear of, or maybe you don't hear of, and it's the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to his people. It's something that shows that he's actually dwelling in you. I do not believe it's the exclusive, like you all have to speak in tongues, but we're going to continue on that. We eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit so we can actually have him working inside of us. Now, the gift of tongues, where we first hear about it in the New Testament, is in Acts, when after Jesus is risen from the dead. Yes, it really happened. He was resurrected from the grave for a whole new life that we get to have in him and with him. And when he was still on the earth, he said, "Okay, you got to go, you got to wait, and you know the helper's going to come." And so the apostles, they gather, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he falls on on the believers, on the apostles, and there's fire, because fire signifies that the Spirit is there, like we see examples in the Old Testament, and this wind that comes, and the Holy Spirit is present, and they start speaking in other tongues. But they're actually speaking in languages. So there's different types of tongues that the Bible talks about. So they're actually preaching the gospel. So the first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit falls is they're able to preach the gospel. So that can kind of remind us what's the significant thing here is to preach the gospel. And when these tongues fall, it allows everybody who's listening to hear the word of God in their language. Now, some brothers and sisters in Christ believe that tongues ceased in the Bible, like in the New Testament, they were done, they don't happen anymore. But we believe that it's still a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Jer and I have a personal friend who, this was 25 years ago, went to Japan and was able to speak fluent Japanese. She could not speak Japanese before that time or after that time, but she was able to speak fluent Japanese to people to hear the word of God. So I feel like, well, what's your other explanation for that? I don't know. So I do believe that people can receive the gift of tongues that is a language. Like I know there's people who speak Filipino, probably French in here, probably, well, I don't know, other languages. And I wish I could just speak in your language and you'd be like, whoa, that was awesome that I heard the gospel in my first language. But that actually happens, and it has happened throughout church history. And so those tongues still exist, but there's also a different kind of tongues that happens within when the Holy Spirit falls on us. And I'll explain it. 1 Corinthians 4:14-5 will help us. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So obviously that's a different kind of tongue, right? Because a language tongue is one that someone understands. This is speaking of a tongue that no one understands. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So there is another kind of tongues that you can receive when the Holy Spirit falls on you, and it's kind of like a babbling. It doesn't make sense. I know when I was in my early 20s and got prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit in a fresh way and started speaking in tongues, you have to let go of kind of the logical part of your brain, I think, that just allows you to sound a little bit like ridiculous. But what I find is I still practice in my own prayer time or when we're in worship as a church, because it's this connection with the Holy Spirit where it strengthens, it edifies you, it makes you realize that it's like there is a power here and that I can connect with. And when I don't know what words to pray, sometimes I speak in tongues, or when I feel like I'm just needing more, almost like you're just kind of wanting that Holy Spirit to fill you fresh again. And so it's a wonderful gift. But I also have to say that, you know, I know men and women of great faith who don't speak in tongues. And I don't see them as any less of a follower of Jesus or a preacher of the gospel or an image bearer of Christ. And so I eagerly desire at the end of service, I'm going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And I'd love for you to speak in tongues. But like Paul says, I'd rather you prophesy, you know, to profess what you see, to say to your brother or sister in Christ sitting beside you, it's like, do you know what? I feel like the Holy Spirit reminded me that you're such a detailed person. You're so good at looking and seeing others or whatever it is. That's how we can encourage and build one another up in the body. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit as well. Oh, the Holy Spirit does so many things. We're going to jump into a bit of Romans 8. I wanted to preach the whole chapter, but you know, there's time for other things in life, but this will hopefully encourage you. Romans 8:2, the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Like we said, this is true freedom going on. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So in the Old Testament, blood was needed to be sacrificed in order for us who were trying to follow this law, like imperfect humans, we're trying to follow the law and we weren't managing to keep it all together. You know, that's kind of the way we work. And so they'd have to sacrifice animals every time to be able to put yourself right again with God. But when Christ came, he did away with that practice. He actually became that sacrifice for us. And because of what he's accomplished, we now can approach God with confidence and know that we are covered by the blood of Christ. You know, that's one of those weird, mysterious things too. But that is what it means. It means you appear perfect before God because of Christ. This is a perfect time because today I am going to dismiss those who are getting ready for baptism because it's Baptism Sunday and, you know, you've got to get switched clothing. And Lindsay at the back will take you out and we're going to celebrate together, like, what Christ has done in us being able to die to our old self and become alive again in him. And that's really what Romans 8 continues. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of law might be fully met in us. So he fully met the requirement that was necessary for us to be right with God, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if Christ is in us, the Spirit is in us. And we're going to get into the three ways to live in the Spirit and with him right away. Romans 8:5 continues on. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So where are our minds? Where are our thought life? Where are we focused? And a mind governed by the flesh is actually, it goes on to say, it's hostile to God. And it's against God. You can't please God when your mind is constantly on the flesh, on the desires that I have because of this human nature that's still a part of us. You know, that's the frustrating thing. I'm new, but there's this parasite that keeps coming back, and you have to, we battle and we wrestle with it, but we have the Holy Spirit. And this is how we live. Galatians 5:16-25 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Again, that freedom within boundary of Christ. "The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God," because we already heard that that is not a reflection of Christ in us when we live by this nature. Yet we still struggle. I'm not saying we're perfect, and perfection is only achieved when Christ returns again, but we have, again, the power of Christ in us through his Spirit. "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We also teach them that song. Okay, "against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And that's what we celebrate even with baptism, is that I actually want to live this new life in Christ with the Spirit dwelling in me. And there should be fruit in our lives if we are walking by the Spirit. There is no infertility with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gets inside you, there is stuff that comes out of you. Something happens. There is a change. There has to be. And if there isn't, Christ is not in you, is what the scripture says. So this is a big deal. It's not just, oh, you know, I can't do that, or I'm not living out the life of the Spirit. No, this is Christ in you. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And that's what I was saying. It's like, that seems impossible to live this kind of really perfect life. But remember, we do have the power that conquered the grave living inside of us. And if we believe that, I think we would have that courage to step out and live in such a way according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And this is speaking of eternity. You know, there is an eternal death. There is hell. You're in the Spirit or you're not. There is two options here. Life and peace because of the Spirit, or eternal separation from God. We are meant to be in Christ and therefore his Spirit that fills us. Romans 6, 2-4 says, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Oh, and it's getting so late, but I wanted to say, if you want to be baptized today, you can still jump up and be baptized. We have extra clothes for you. We have stuff if you want to die with Christ. That sounds really great. Die with Christ and be raised to life, to new life with Christ. Today, you can be baptized. There's no like waiting time. It's like you can believe in Jesus and be baptized today. Okay, and you still have like 7 minutes to go, so you're good. You can prepare and be ready. This is number three. How do we receive and live with the Holy Spirit? So number one, we accept the gift of salvation. When we accept Christ, like I said, Christ in us is the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So we're born again. One of those, again, weird, mysterious things about following Jesus is you can actually be born again. You can be made fully made new. You know, I wish that for, you know, my body and my skin sometimes, but you can actually, in a spiritual way, be born again, which matters more because guess what? You get a new heavenly body, but your spirit and your soul is eternal. So get the renewed, reborn spirit side. Yes, way more important, even though our culture would say no. See, it's countercultural. They want you to work on the outside all day long and not be worrying about that heart of stone that needs to be turned to a heart of flesh because of the Holy Spirit. So, second way that we can receive the Holy Spirit and live with him, in baptism. You know, we die to the flesh. We say, Holy Spirit, I want to be made new in you. And so I'm going to do full immersion. I'm going under that water to say my old life is gone and the new one is to come. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's like a salvation baptism duo right there. So again, you can believe in Jesus today. You can find yourself in Christ because of submitting your life to him, and you can be baptized. Wow. I love checking all the things off. You know what's crazy? Actually, in the early church, they actually performed an exorcism, like, you know, getting the demons out, and then you get baptized, and then you get filled with the Spirit. Because who knows? We got stuff that we hold on to and we don't want to actually die to. So it's good to be reminded that we don't just get emptied, we need to get filled. And when you get filled with the Spirit, you can push some of that stuff out because of the power of the Spirit. And number three, a prayer to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:15 says, when they, Peter and John, arrived in Samaria, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So there is something powerful. Yes, you can pray every day, Holy Spirit, fill me. And Ephesians 5, it tells us that we need to be continually filled with the Spirit, because who knows, we are continually being bombarded by the flesh. So we have to continually be being filled with the Spirit. But there is something powerful about praying to receive the Holy Spirit, fresh and anew, the outpouring of the Spirit. And I want everybody to stand to their feet right now. And I'm just going to pray. And I've been praying for you, particularly over the last few days, and just praying for your hearts. Those hearts that are stone or clay or whatever, you know, part on that hardness scale. I pray for soft hearts, that today we could receive the Holy Spirit. And that, like I said, I pray that some of you will speak in tongues for the first time. I pray that some of you will prophesy for the first time, knowing that the Holy Spirit's power is in you and can actually work through you, believing you are a vessel, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to compel you to honor your body. It's going to compel you to actually serve and edify those around you by walking the way of the Spirit. He wants to outpour His Spirit on you. So you can just close your eyes, and I encourage you, if you're comfortable, just to open your hands as a posture of saying, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And those of you who have a heavenly language, or even just words to pray and believe again for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. That we don't need to like yell or shout or scream at you. You hear us. You are right here with us. You are in step with us. Oh, the many believers who have been filled with your Spirit even more than once, God, time and time again, I just pray that your Spirit would fall fresh on us. God, your promises is that in the last days you will pour out your Spirit, and your sons and your daughters, they will have dreams and visions. They will see what you see, God, and that's what I pray. I pray that even over today, over this week, God, that as each one who surrendered their lives to you is sleeping in their beds this week, I pray that visions and dreams of you, God, of your leading, of your wisdom, of your knowledge, of your healing, God, that it would fall on your people. This is a promise that we hold to. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you that you fall on us fresh. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to breathe for a minute. He is here. The pneuma, the breath, the wind of the Spirit. We thank you that we can continue to be filled. I'm so thankful. It's not that the Spirit did an incomplete job when He poured out His Spirit, that there wasn't enough. No, it's us. We need more of Him, more and more of Him. And before we turn to the, or we transition to the celebration of baptisms, I just want to pray. You can keep your eyes closed, and those of you who are followers of Jesus, pray for those who have not yet said yes to their Savior and Lord, that they would say yes today to be a follower of you, to be not only yes, Christ, I believe in you, but that which comes with it, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be bold enough to repent, Jesus, to receive your forgiveness. And you can just repeat these words after me, and we will pray together as a church. Jesus, I repent. I turn from doing life my own way, and I choose to follow your ways. Jesus, forgive me. I thank you for a new life. I thank you for your Holy Spirit filling me now and readying me for the next step. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.